Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about biblical stewardship, something that is not just about money, but how we use all the resources that God has given us, how we use our very lives for His kingdom, for the things that will last forever. We talked initially about how everything that we have is not ours, but it's really from God, for God, and to God. So if God owns everything and everything we have is His, why don't we just give it all back to Him? We've talked about the responsibility as Jeff Edmonds walked through one of the parables of Jesus, about the responsibility and the accountability that we have today and will one day have as we stand before the Lord to give an account for how we've invested and used our time as well as our talents and our treasures for the Lord. Last week, Kurt Whiteside walked us through the Sermon on the Mount and how Jesus gave instruction to His disciples, to us, about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where your heart is, there your treasure will be. The theme we've been walking through is how giving is living, and the opposite is true as well, that living is really giving. Many of you may be familiar with the story in the life of Oskar Schindler. After Germany invaded Poland in 1939, Oskar Schindler was this really greedy, opportunistic businessman who set up an enamelware factory in Krakow, Poland. And what he did is, as a shrewd businessman, he saw an opportunity to use cheap, if not free labor of Jews and Polish workers. But as time went on and he began to understand the reality of the atrocities and the Holocaust, of the treatment of Jews, and as he worked side by side, he began to care more and more about his Jewish workers, particularly those he came in contact with on a daily basis. And so instead of merely taking advantage of his Jewish workers, he began paying, if not bribing, German officials to allow prisoners who would have otherwise been sent off to concentration camps and, if not certain death, he paid so that they could work in his factory. In essence, Mr. Schindler was paying for the salvation of his Jewish workers. And by the time the war had ended, he had sacrificed nearly everything he owned in order to save those who could not save themselves. By all estimations, Oskar Schindler spent millions, spent his fortune to save the lives of at least 1,200 Jews. And years later, declared bankruptcy because of his life of giving for the salvation of others. So here's a question I want to ask you this morning. For what or for whom would you give everything you have? For what cause or for what people would you give to save not hundreds or thousands, but maybe even one or two, a handful? For what or for whom would you give everything? You know, we look at some of the atrocities in our world, maybe first and foremost that of abortion. Or what about some of the needs of single-parent families, the absence of dads? For what or for whom would you give your time, your energy, your attention, your money? And particularly when it comes to our money, few things reveal the real state of our hearts, like where we spend it and whether we're willing to give it away for the sake of others. That's why Jesus chose the temple treasury, where the crowd was coming and going and making offerings and free will offerings. He used this setting to point out what true devotion to God looks like. and what trust in him really means. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Here in Mark, Jesus has entered Jerusalem for the last time, preparing to go to the cross. And it was in this setting that Jesus specifically made a conscious decision of where he would sit so that he could observe those who were coming to give. So in Mark chapter 12, starting verse 41, we read this. Sitting across from the temple treasury, he, that is Jesus, watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Verse 42, and a poor woman came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, I assure you, this poor widow has put in more than all those giving to the temple treasury. For they gave out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she possessed, all that she had to live in, to live on. She gave all her life. For what or for whom would you give everything that you have? There's some specific lessons that Jesus intentionally wanted not only his disciples, but us, years later, to observe and to hear and to understand the perspective of what love looks like and what total trust is all about. First of all, Jesus observes our giving. He observed the widow's giving. She observed those who were rich and wealthy. Here at this treasury where they placed all their offerings, it consisted, we understand, of 13 brass treasure chests that looked like inverted trumpets, where the skinny part was at the top and the horn was at the bottom. And so as you would come in and drop money, if it was a little bit, you'd hear just a few trickles. If it was a lot, then have you ever walked by the coin machine in Kroger or Tom Thumb when somebody's putting all their coins in there and you hear the rattle? I mean, it's a distinctive sound, isn't it? It was a very distinctive sound then as well. And so as those came to give of their offering to pay for their sacrifices that they would make, it was a busy place where both the local inhabitants as well as those who were there on a pilgrim journey to celebrate the eventual Passover would come. So it's here among this noisy commotion that Jesus took a strategic location to observe, to watch, and to teach. Have you ever been at the airport or maybe at a shopping mall, maybe waiting for your spouse and just do some people watching? Just make observations about character and behavior and conversations. Well, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was people watching. Although it wasn't just random, wasting time, it was intentional. So first of all, we see that Jesus observes our giving. What did he see as he sat and watched? Well, first of all, he sees who gives. Mark makes it clear that he watched the crowd and he saw the rich people as well as seeing a poor widow. He noticed the difference in how they dressed, how they walked, their mannerisms. Probably the rich proudly excited that they could drop in so much money and hear the sound of the coins. He also watched a poor widow. And somehow he knew exactly what she had been through just by watching her and seeing her give. Jesus not only sees who gives, but he perceives exactly what is given. The description for the wealthy and the rich were that they gave large sums. And this poor widow came and she dropped, in contrast, two tiny coins worth very little. You can hear on one hand those who are wealthy coming in as rich, they drop in a lot and it makes a loud clank. This poor widow comes in, what she drops in probably doesn't even make a sound. It's so little, so worthless. In fact, the amount that it seems that she gave was one coin was worth 1/64 of a denarius. A denarius was a day's wage. What you would make in a whole day, she gave two coins, each worth 1/64. What would that look like today? Well, if we were to take a guess of what's the average, based on Pew Research studies, of what the average income is for Americans, especially in the wealthy economy of Texas, it's around probably $50,000. If you were to break that down into the daily rate, and then 1/64 of the daily rate, it's about $3. That's all she had. $3. And that's in this wealthy economy. In other places of the world, if we were to figure out the average of what a daily's wage is, it's pennies. That's all she had, and that's all she gave. Jesus perceived what was given and that it cost her more to give it, but she gave it nonetheless. Third, he notices how much is given, not just the amount, but the rich people gave from their surplus, from what they had left over. But she gave everything, all that she had. You know, I think if we were looking at her, it would be reasonable for her, although still sacrificial, to give one coin, right? And still have another one left? But not only did she say, well, this is yours and this is mine, she gave it all. She gave everything. In fact, Jesus describes it as all she had to live on, all her life. Just as Jesus observed their giving, Jesus observes ours as well. I think it's reasonable and should be that we stay anonymous in how we give so that we're not giving to puff out our chest or to sink in embarrassment of how much we're able to give. But before the Lord, because it's all His, comes from Him, is for Him, and to Him, it's no secret. And just as He observes the giving here, He knows our hearts, He knows our minds. He sees it all. But with that, secondly, Jesus not only observes our giving, He also knows our circumstances. He knows what's going on behind the scenes, maybe things that nobody else knows as well. He observes not only the things that are up front, but the things that are going on behind the scenes, the circumstances of how much, what else we have that we're responsible for. And here's what I've come to understand and experience, is that based on our circumstances and where we are in life, that if we don't learn to give when it's hard and when it's truly a sacrifice, we're not going to be able to give when it's no longer a sacrifice but a surplus. It's really at our younger age, students, where you are when you first start getting a job, of whether or not you're going to make a decision to say what's mine and what's God's, what's mine and what's others, or say, Lord, it's all from you, and I want to be generous and sacrificial. Or when you go off to college and things are tight and you're living on ramen noodles and excited when you have enough money to go to Whataburger. It's learning in those circumstances to give that it makes a difference. Or maybe when you're newly married and have young kids and you're trying to get established and you bought your first house or you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay the rent. It's during those circumstances that we truly learn how to give and live. And the reason that's important is because Jesus knows our circumstances. He knows what we have. He understood it from the poor widow that she gave everything she had. How did He know that? Well, I think by observation, but also by the fact that he was Jesus, the Son of God. He understood and perceived that it was not only the amount, but he understood her need. And in the same way, Jesus knows about our income. He knows our net income. He knows really well when our income is gross and the adjusted gross. He understands what we have because he's the one who provides it, right? Was God unloving to the poor widow because she didn't have as much as those who were rich? Was that a sign and evidence of God's love or lack thereof? No, God provided the two coins to the poor widow just as much as he provided for the wealthy, for the rich. He knew, and he knows. Not only does he know what we have, but he also knows what we need. And he recognized this poor widow gave all that she had to live on. As he asked us to give to the Lord, he knows our financial responsibilities. He knows that we're responsible to provide food and clothing and shelter. He knows our needs for transportation. He knows our needs to pay college tuition. He knows and understands our need to set money aside for retirement and for emergencies. He knows our circumstances and our needs when through circumstances beyond our control, we end up in a place where we're experiencing some debt, where everything collapses at one time and we have no choice other than to take a loan. He knows that. And so if he knows what we give, if he knows our circumstances, what Jesus does here with his disciples, he summons them together. He gathers them together. Maybe he was sitting off on the side just kind of watching all these things and making these observations, and the disciples were doing some people watching, but maybe they weren't really understanding what was going on. And so Jesus says, hey guys, come on over. Let me explain what's going on here. Let me give you some insight into what's really happening. And Jesus begins to evaluate the giving of the rich and the giving of this poor widow. And the reason that this is so important, a crucial, teachable moment for his disciples and for us, is that money is perhaps our greatest rival to worshiping God, especially here in wealthy, rich America. Money and possessions are often our greatest idol, the things that we trust in, put our confidence in, rely upon, our source of worth, entertainment. And that's why Jesus chose this setting and this scene of the temple treasury as a place to illustrate this great godly example of loving God and trusting him more. Jesus evaluates our giving. First of all, our giving is an expression of our devotion to him. Our giving is an expression, a reflection of our devotion to him. And what's the significance of this? Well, in the very same chapter, just a few verses earlier, verse 28, a scribe approached Jesus in Mark chapter 8. And when he heard them debating that Jesus answered them well, he asked, which commandment is the most important of all? Well, this is the most important, Jesus said. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Chapter 12, verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandment greater than these. It's in this context that Mark makes the connection with Jesus teaching his disciples, using this example and illustration of what loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength looks like. What does it look like? Giving your all. For this poor woman, it was giving all that she possessed, everything, all that she had to live on, all of her life. That's what love looked like. That Jesus doesn't evaluate our giving based upon just what we give, but he evaluates our giving based on what we have available. Now, before some of you start getting really scared, it doesn't mean that God expects us to sell everything and to live a life of poverty. But what he's asking for is all of our heart. He's asking for everything that we have. Rather than depending upon the comforts of living on the surplus or just giving of our surplus, that we're giving to the Lord all that we have, not just our money, but our time, our energy, our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings. Giving the Lord all that we have. Every single person in the crowd who walked by this temple treasury could have received the same response from Jesus that this poor widow did. But because she gave of her all, she was the one that received Christ's attention, his praise. And her sacrifice, despite its meager value, in God's eyes was worth more than all the other contributions. So when it comes to giving, it's never about the amount. It's always about the heart. How are we demonstrating to God, not out of obligation, but out of love, that we're committed to him and his work upon this earth? It's about the heart, because our giving is an expression of our devotion to him. You know, when I sit down, or when we sit down to write a check to the U.S. Treasury, the IRS doesn't really care whether I give willingly or grudgingly, as long as I give. And they've got a specific amount that they're looking for. It's completely different when it comes to the Lord, because he sees what we give. He knows our circumstances. He wants us to give our all, not out of obligation, not out of pressure, but really as an expression that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, that we love him. Our giving is an expression of our devotion to him. We also see that our giving is a reflection of our trust in him. This poor widow, out of her poverty, has put in everything she possessed, all that she had to live on. That's what trust looks like. Not holding on to the second coin, but giving it all. Trusting the Lord to meet her needs, being faithful and obedient, but more importantly, trusting that God knew her needs, knew her circumstances, and was going to provide for her. I can't imagine that I'm the only one in this room that might think that's crazy. When I read this, I think, oh Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's why the rich young ruler, when Jesus asked for a demonstration of his heart and his trust, said he wouldn't sell everything he had and give it to the poor. And so he walked away sad. This poor widow, giving everything she had, Jesus illustrating her life so that we don't even know her name, but her example her testimony of not only her love, but her complete dependence. Being content in all situations, including saying, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from, but Lord, I'm giving it to you and trusting that you're going to provide for me. Now, God doesn't want our money, and he's not asking us to give all our money, but he does want all of us, all of me, all of you. And the greatest way to demonstrate our love for him and our trust that he knows our circumstances and is still going to meet our need is to give sacrificially and generously. We can't give ourselves, we can't give all of ourselves apart from parting with our money sacrificially. So since Jesus observes our giving, since he knows our circumstances, since he evaluates our giving, let me just ask us a few questions, not only to consider this morning, but to think about Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday night, maybe even next Saturday. Here are a few questions to consider when we think about this example of love and trust. What are your motives for giving? Is it out of obligation? Is it just what you've been taught? Is it thinking you're going to get something back from it? What's your motive for giving to the Lord? Are you giving cheerfully, or do you view it more like the same way you pay your taxes? It's just something else that's an expense, something else to do. When's the last time you prayed about giving? Have you prayed about giving? If you're married, have you and your spouse talked about giving? Have you planned your giving? Have you talked about your motives for giving? If not, I suggest you do. For students, have you talked to your parents about giving? Or is that something that you worked and you made the money and so it's yours? The time to learn is now. Not out of obligation, but out of joy, out of love, out of being involved in what God is doing here on this earth until Christ returns for us. Well, beyond just talking and praying, how much are you actually giving to the Lord? Not talking about the amount from a dollar standpoint, but are you giving out of your surplus or are you giving out of sacrifice? And that's really between you and the Lord, you and your family. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to take some time to confess, to agree with the Lord about your lack of giving that is really evidence of a lack of love and or a lack of trust. Maybe the hardest question is, are you willing to give the Lord everything you have? And if necessary, all that you have to live on, all of your life? God may not ask any of us to do that, but would we be willing? First question I asked this morning was, for what or for whom would you give everything that you have? What is your, at the end of your life, as you have given your time and your talents and your treasures, as you look back, have you given out of your surplus what's extra? Or will you and I look back and say, we gave joyfully, sacrificially, and it was worth it, in anticipation of seeing Jesus face to face and not being held accountable from a standpoint of a slap on the wrist, but in a perspective of, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little. Come and share in your master's joy. That's what we long to hear, what we long to experience one day. And the way that we do that is being willing and actually giving everything, all, if the Lord leads us to do that, and to trust Him that He'll take care of us. At the end of World War II, Dr. Moshe Betsy, who was saved by Oskar Schindler during the Holocaust, said this. He said, Oskar could have easily closed his Krakow operations and retreated westward with the profits he had already made. Instead, he chose to risk his life and his money to save as many Jews as he could. Are you willing to give all you have to the one who gave his life for you? Because it's not the size of the gift, but the heart of the sacrifice that matters. Even when giving less is giving more, because you've given all that you have.